As soon as my mic gets back on. This is what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song, Every Praise, which is a very fun march-like song. And we're going to give you the opportunity to bring your item to this table here in the front and pick up a penny when you do. And again, if you didn't bring something with you today, that is perfectly fine. The item was really just to get you to start thinking about what you're thankful for and how you wanted to express it. But if you do want to write something on a card and put that up on the table as an offering of your thanks, that would be great. So let's stand together. And it's going to be a little bit of chaos, which is totally fine. So go ahead, and as we sing the song, feel free to bring your item forward. And we're going to praise our God together. And then after we finish this song, we're going to give you an opportunity to come up and say what that item or what's on that card and to give thanks to God. All right, you ready? Here we go. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. All right, come on up. Here we go. Sing hallelujah now. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. seated. So what we're going to do is Justin has the handheld microphone. And, oh, look at all these lovely things. Oh, there's money on there. Lovely. I like that. All right. So what we're going to do is Justin's going to come on up, and he's going to have the microphone here. But if you'd like to just stay where you are, you can come up and show us your item and tell us why you are thankful for it. But if you'd like to stay where you are, Justin will also come to you, and you can raise your hand. So, Justin, once you kind of come up to the front, oh, we're going to start with Debbie in the back. Fantastic. Okay.
I apologize. I've got to leave early and help Carol Ann. I brought the picture of my youngest nephew, who is 27. I have no biological children, but I help raise six. And if you'll notice, there is a young woman with him in this picture. And he has a sparkle in his eyes I never thought we would see again. He was very brokenhearted with a young woman he was in love with that chose to go to New York City and become a designer versus marrying him after they got out of school, after she got out of school. And he went through a lot of brokenness. He met this young girl. I was not real thrilled. She did not know the Lord, which really upset our family. But praise his name, she came to know him this past summer. I was able to attend her baptism, and she is growing. So I praise the Lord for that, a tremendous answer of prayer for our family.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie. All right, who would like to come on up, or if you want to stay where you are, who would like to be next? All right, come on up. Or do you want to stay there? Justin, bring the microphone over to her.
I bring my umbrella.
You're good. Just
I'm writing a note. I wrote a note. I'm thankful for my families and friends who are as protective for me as this umbrella. And a special point is that I accidentally tripped on this umbrella's handle, so it's almost crushed. So it's just the relationship with my families and friends. Some of them got crushed, and there is no way to fix it anymore. But I'm still grateful for all the relationship I have had and will have. Just as maybe we are thankful because we intrinsically want to be thankful. But sometimes we might be transactionally need to be thankful in order, just as Pastor Goins said, we need to be thankful because we need to get more blessings. So my point is two aspects of thankfulness. One is the transactional, instrumental. The other is emotional. We need from our bottom of hearts.
Thank you. Thank you.
And by the way, may I bring back my umbrella?
Yes, yes, you may have your umbrella. That is true. If you come up and show us your item, you can bring it back with you. But you can also come and get it at the end of the service, too. So. All right, Abraham?
Just I put a
you want to come show us? Come show us. I'm going to make you come to the front. I just decided.
Okay. Yeah, suddenly I realized today was the 25 years back I landed in this country. I'm thankful to God for his grace and mercies. One of the things my godly parents, they taught us was like Elijah told that widow, when you bake the cake, bring the first cake for me. So I learned to practice that in spite of so many times I was without job and other things. God was faithful for us, like our basket never, the flour in the basket never got wasted, nor the oil in the jar ran out. We always, God was plentiful for us. And Jennifer, I didn't bring the can of oil. I don't want to accidentally anoint someone in the congregation.
That's fine. Or pour it on the carpet. We get that. Yeah.
So I'm not telling out of pride or arrogance to the youngsters. try God with his tithes and offerings. God will bless you. God will never let you down. You'll never go hungry or thirsty. And like God says, 40 years I brought you through this wilderness. Your slippers never worn out, or your coat did not. This jacket, I stretched it in India 25 years back. Still it fits me. As a witness, I mean, even if you think it's so ridiculous or silly, but God has been mindful of us, even the small things, and he's faithful. A lot of times, like Pastor said, we forget to notice those small things. Thank you very much for the church and the prayers they prayed for me and my family.
Amen. Ooh, we've got to rush to the front.
I was going to say, when you're old, you have to come up in stages. I brought today a New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs translation of the Passion Translation. And it was given to me by some friends who are in a group with me. It used to be, in the old days, I was content to have a relationship with God all by myself, in a little corner in my living room. When we came to Georgia, God gave me, for the first time in my life, a group of friends who wanted to meet with me and let us travel on our journey with God together. And it has transformed my life. And this past year, for my birthday, they gave me this Passion Translation, which just really symbolizes for me, not only my relationship with Jesus, but my relationship with godly friends. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Naomi and I she's very shy. She used to be very outgoing when she was young. Now she's so shy. All right. We wanted to give this bracelet. So for my last work travel, I went to Kenya, and this just has the Kenyan flag, but for me, this represents I know we all have, like, I feel like war stories, I'll say spiritual war stories, but sometimes for me, I just love to hear the good stories about God. And so for me, it's just a nice, pretty bracelet, and it's just decorative. And I think it's nice for us to think about just the decorative, great stories about God. And it's like, you know, and this was a bracelet someone gave me, and I tried and I couldn't fit it. So I had to give it to my daughter. I didn't really want to give it to her. I wanted it to be for me. But it just reminds me that, you know, God has, like, a decorative story for us that's just for us. It was meant for her, and when she put it on, she was able to wiggle it on. As hard as I tried, I couldn't. But it's nice for us to just have this lovely story of God, and it's just pretty, and it's nice for us to have these, and that's what it reminded me of. I guess it's simple, but that's our story. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you.
Most of you can't see what this is, but it is a brass model of a locomotive, steam locomotive, that ran at one time on the Maryland and Pennsylvania Railroad. The reason I have it is every time I see this locomotive, I'm reminded of my mother-in-law, who gave it to me back when we were first married. She accepted this guy who married her daughter, who had this crazy hobby of model trains. And not only did she accept it, but she went and bought this for me. But it's a reminder to me today of God's grace in giving me both parents and in-laws who love the Lord, who set me on a path to follow Christ. And I am deeply grateful for that, to God for them, and for them for their investment. in me. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I put a card down here that I just wrote opportunities because if you know my background, understand where I come from, there is no way, there is no formula, there is nothing that can explain where I am today. There is no formula, there is no anything. So I was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC. And my father died in 1994, just 2 years after the war started in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And then after that, the war started. My mom and my sibling, we immigrated to South Africa as refugees. That way we live in South Africa as refugees. So if you look at my background, you look at my life, there is no formula. There is nothing that explains. There is no way. It's easy for me to sit down and think that maybe I am where I am today because I'm a hard worker. But just the Bible say your hard working will not going to get you. Only the blessing of God give you the power to become what God was. So the opportunities. I'm an infectious disease doctor, specializing in HIV and TB co-infection. And the last year, I completed PhD. So I have an MD and a PhD. For now, I work here at Emory University as a postdoc. So if you look really where I'm coming from, as a kid raised with a single mother, a refugee from all the way from the DRC, I can't see any formula how I become where I am today. It's only the grace of God. It's only God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning. Here I have just a ring.
But hold the mic a little bit closer, Anna Vicky, we can't hear you. Microphone.
Okay, here I have just a ring, but this represents for me faith. I don't know, mommy.
You want to say español, and then your mama, well, mama come.
This represents for me faith because I found this in a dark place in the Maples. I was looking for my med. And I found this, and this remembered me when my brother's history. I never felt real faith before, but when my mother told me about the condition of my brother, I started to feel real faith and feel he will be okay. So it's like I find the faith. In the dark moment, I find the faith, and this is like that history. So it's something like this. And finish.
Very good. Thank you, Anna Vicky.
Good morning. This is my daughter. I broke this because Victor is here. When I was pregnant, the doctor told me he was coming with hydrocephalus and spina bifida. And those were dark days for me and my husband and my family. And I'm a crybaby. And God told me, give me your tears. And so I did. I gave to him my tears for a couple of days. And then a friend of mine told me, now it's time for be thankful. You just say thanks to God. And I start, thanks God for my baby. I was pregnant. They supposed not to be walking. The doctor told me he was going to be blind or maybe, because of the hydrocephalus. And I didn't care about that. I just started to say thanks to God because of my baby boy. And now he's here. He is a wonderful little boy. He's going to be 4 next month. And just I'm very, very grateful. Every day, every morning, every night, every moment. And, well, I have 2 wonderful girls. They are good students here in this country. This new language, they are doing their best. And I'm always thank you, God, because of my wonderful girls. And I also brought my, almost done. I could be here for hours because so many things for being, you know, grateful. I brought my car keys. It means that we arrived a few months ago from my country, Venezuela. And it means that I could buy a car. We could rent an apartment. And these 2 kids, because I'm working in a pre-K, a daycare center, just for today. But God has been blessing us in this country, and it's hard for me leaving my family, my stuff, my house, everything. But He is with us, and I'm thankful. I'm sorry because of my English, but I'm very thankful for everything He has been done for us and what He's going to do. What? And because I found this church, of course, thank you. I was driving this road, and I found the signs. I used to go to the same church in my country, and I was praying, God, I need you. I need a church. Where do you want me to go? And then it was that sign, like a, I don't know, like the song was, you know, pointing to the sign out there. And I stood there and I met Jennifer and Miss Margaret, and we're here. Thank you. Thanks, God.
This is my family, and for many years, really for many generations, we have gone to a camp in the summertime. And one of the people in my family, when she was 8 years old, she went to the altar and told the Lord she would go anywhere He asked her to go when she grew up. And so when she grew up, she went to Kenya to work first in a baby orphanage for 2 summers. And then after she graduated from the university, she went as a teacher in a mission school for 2 years, and now she is here. She has been a youth pastor out at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church and going to school. She has her master's in school counseling and personal counseling. And so all my life I've heard about missionaries, and now I have my own missionary from my own family, and she will leave December the 29th to return to Kenya to be a counselor to missionary kids who are getting ready to come back to America to go to college, and their parents serve in Africa, and they will be separated far, far away. And she is going to counsel them and help them to know how to adjust when they come back to this country. So I have a wonderful family, but I also have a missionary. Amen.
I brought some earbuds. Funny. It's kind of a 3-in-1. The whole idea kind of resembles around music, and the reason why I'm thankful for it is I'm thankful I'm able to play it. It feels good to be able to have something to do in my spare time. I probably spent like over an hour just yesterday just playing around, just having fun. But I'm also thankful for it because I'm thankful to listen to it. Some days, you know, whenever I'm having a bad day, I'll just listen to music and I'll feel a lot better. Or if I'm having a bad day and I play music, I feel a lot better. So I'm really thankful for music, and I'm thankful for the gift to be able to play it. I tried to take piano. My mom wanted me to learn music. I was not very fond of that. But I did find bass, and I'm very thankful for that. And my family has kind of been a huge support in that, so I thank you for them. And also, one other reason I'm thankful for his earbuds is because I actually got them from my grandmother. Right there you are, right over there. I'm thankful for music, being able to listen to it, and being able to have the gift of being able to have a way to listen to music and listen to music that I want to, just about when I want to. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Thanks, Jake.
I actually have two things that I must express today to be thankful for. The first one is that many years ago, I went to work for American Airlines, which allows me, I live in Texas, but it allows me to come here frequently. I used to come more often than I do now, but I love this church, and this is still what I consider my home church. But one of the reasons I don't come as often as I used to is because of this picture here. My youngest daughter has a 13-year-old daughter, but she's never been able to have any more children, and she's always desired several. But this year, God allowed her to adopt a baby. This picture shows the judge holding that baby in May and all of us around him because she is now such a blessing to our family. She, her name is Cody Rose, and she turned one last week. And not only the parents and us celebrated her birthday, but her birth mother is involved with her too. She came to the party. She got to love on this daughter and expressed to us how thankful she is that she's in such a good home because she knew that she could not raise her. So I'm just really thankful for this little girl in this picture.
I'm going to lay this down because I have a built-in loudspeaker.
Well, we're recording, Steve, so if you could.
See who runs the show around here. I was driving in this morning from Alpharetta and thought, well, maybe I'm the one that comes from the furthest to attend First Alliance Church. But definitely if someone comes from Texas to come to First Alliance Church, they win the prize. For show and tell this morning, I brought a symbolic object. This is an expense card from the company that I work with. And what this symbolizes for me is that something of great value has been entrusted to me. And the scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians that we speak as people approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. This expense card is of limited value. The gospel that we have been entrusted with is of infinite value. And I am thankful today, profoundly thankful, for all the things God does for us. His grace, His patience, His love never fails. But I'm also profoundly grateful for the things that God allows us to partner with Him and that we can do with Him. And it says in this same passage, a little further on, Paul says, when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother, and then it says this, God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ. It's God who's spreading the gospel, and He gives us the privilege of being His fellow workers. And that's what I'm profoundly grateful for today, is that you and I have the incredible privilege of being a link in the multi-link chain that God uses to bring someone to Christ as their personal Savior. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that I become all things to all men. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I might be a partaker in its blessings. And what a blessing it is to be God's fellow worker.
We're going to take, we'll start again after we do this song. We're just going to take a break, give you guys a chance to stand and sing a song of thankfulness, of praise to our God. So let's stand together. How great the chasm that lay between.
And through the darkness
Margaret, did you want to come? What are you doing taking it back there, silly?
So like Jake, I have a three-parter. I brought a book that I read many years ago, and recently in going cleaning up at home, I came across it again and read it again. And so I brought it today to represent three gifts that I'm very thankful for. The first is just simply the gift of books. I'm a book lover. I love to read. And particularly in these last couple of years, I've been going through some hard times. I've read many, many books that have helped me. And I'm so thankful for that. And the second thing is that I'm thankful for the gift of, and the power of story. And we all have a story. And I love it when I hear other people's stories. I've heard some today that has blessed me. And this man's story, his name is Franz Moor, and he wrote this book, My Life with the Great Pianist. He faced some real devastation and loss during World War II, became an atheist out of that. But later, God got a hold of him. And he didn't become a missionary or, you know, a pastor or anything like that. He became a piano tuner. And he tuned piano for many of the great pianists of the 20th century, including Horowitz and Rubinstein. And many of them were quite temperamental. And to see how his faith plays out, his story is very, very powerful, to see how his faith played out in being a piano tuner. And it just reminds me of that we each have a unique story. And I love what I talk to the kids all the time about. I love that we are living in a story and that God is telling one big story. And that when we choose to join him and put our trust and faith in him, we join his story. So no matter what happens in our stories, we always know that the big story has a happy ending. And I'm very thankful for that today. Nothing is meaningless because it's all a part of God's story. And the third thing is same as Jake. I'm thankful for the gift of music. What a gift. The language of music that goes beyond any language barrier and touches us in a place deep in our spirit and soul that nothing else can touch us. So those are my three things I'm thankful for today.
So if I had brought an item, what it would have been is a map. And when I get on my Google Maps on my phone, in very close proximity, I see my little dot of my house, and I have a little dot on Mom and Dad's house, and I have a little dot on Jen and Drew's house. And I'm so, so grateful to be so close to family that loves us and supports us and has fun with us. Because for 18 years, we lived in Lexington, Kentucky, and we were just far, far away from our family. And there were good reasons for being in that place and ministry that God had us doing, but we were always just aching for our family. So I'm so grateful to be close to my, and they're all my in-laws. They're like, you know, I'm grateful to be close to them, and I'm grateful for the fact that it's such an easy fit to love and be loved by them.
Before I show you my, I want to talk about this. This is an ad, okay? Unsolicited. This is Nancy. That's my name, but that's not who I am. But I do want to know your names. I see a lot of people without name tags. I just want to tell you, I am the one who makes them. So the ad is, there's a pad of paper outside underneath the board. If you have lost it, you don't have to tell me. Just put your first name there. I'll be happy to make one for you. Second is, please wear them every Sunday. That would be helpful, okay? No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, not done yet.
Okay, my turn.
No, she's not done yet. That was just an ad.
That was an ad.
Oh, that was an ad. Oh, you had a prologue.
This is my item. It's a luggage tag. This has something to do with my name, by the way. This is my identity. It has my name on it. It also represents traveling. Paul and I have flown a lot the last 7 weeks. In fact, we've been to 4 other churches besides our own. So I'm going to talk about relationships and family. And you guys have already shared, but I'll give you my unique perspective, okay? The Lord, I wasn't even going to share, but this morning, right before we left home, Paul didn't even know I grabbed this. I removed this from my carry-on after Tuesday night when we returned from California. That luggage and this tag I'm thankful for because it helps me to see my family. Paul and I are very far away from our older daughter who lives in Los Angeles, California. They don't get to come here very often, and we don't get to see them very often. I would be just like, is it Vivian or somebody said they can take an hour? No, Anna, Karina. I could take a few hours too, but I would even show you pictures, but I won't. I was a grandmother, mother-in-law, mother to my older daughter, who I don't see very often, while I was there. It reminded me of how many different hats I wear. I have these horizontal relationships with people in my life from the past, present, and even the future, as Margaret mentioned. God is still writing my story. But I was so thankful to have been there because nothing takes the place of being with someone. Lucas, my precious six-year-old grandson, he and I can do FaceTime on the phone and tell each other jokes. We can talk to each other on the phone. We can send emails, ask his mother to read to him. But there was nothing like being with him, hugging him, having him love on me as well. It was just wonderful. But before then, we went to Maryland, and I was a sister. We celebrated my younger sister's 70th birthday. I'm 71. I was a sister-in-law because all my other siblings came together. I was an aunt, a great aunt, and some other things, I'm sure. But I was a wife because Paul was with me the whole time. So I thank God for all these horizontal relationships. But on Sundays, we thought of you guys and pray for you on Saturday and Sunday. We're in two churches in California, then one church in Virginia and Maryland. And some of those people, we've had relationships with them since 1978. They were our supporting churches before we went to Okinawa, Japan. And we saw some of them. There were so many reunions with people. It just really blessed me. That's only because by the grace of God and our vertical relationship with God that we have in common with one another, because we're all in the family of God. So I want to talk about what we just sang. I am a child of God. I have been born into his family. I've been rescued. All those things we sang this morning, they're just wonderful phrases. So Nancy is my name, but I'm all these relationships with you and with other people. But I'm looking forward to being with God, seeing him face to face one day. Okay, so that's my vertical relationship is the most important to me. And because of that, I have relationship with all of you and with others. So this morning, I'm thankful for this. And when I go to heaven, I don't even need any luggage.
Well, if I would have been able to bring what I would have been thankful for, it would have been bigger than that table. Would have been a 1,000-pound hunk of metal that's a section of a machine that's been welded back together and destroyed and welded back together about 5 times. I would have also brought a nail gun and probably 1,000 pounds of compost. Because it's multifaceted. I'm finally in a place where I have the space in the room to do what I've been dying to do since I was a child. It's, you know, because now where we live, we have so much room that all of a sudden, hey, I need something. Well, I just go to my barn, find a bunch of scraps, and build whatever I need. I mean, I've been building containers. I've been building all sorts of stuff. I've been re-welding together machines. I've been doing the stuff I've been dying to do for, you know, decades, at least 30 years. And, you know, it's finally able to do something that's been burning in my heart to do for decades. It's so gratifying. I mean, most people don't know what it's like to be waiting, you know, that long to do something you've been wanting to do. And all of a sudden, now you can do it all you want. That's what I'm thankful for. You know, fixing machines, you know, the dirt, the compost represents all the trees I've been able to plant that I want to have, my apple trees, having my pear tree, my pecan trees. And being able to, you know, eventually grow other things so I don't have to buy my food. I'll just grow it myself. So that's what I'm thankful for, is being able to do what I've been dying to do for so long. And now I just can do it all that I want.
Cool. I'm Pat.
Janice is going to be in the back there.
Somebody bought you today.
Oh, that's right. We're going to sing. Should we sing Happy Birthday right now? Because we're thankful for Janice. All right, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Janice. Happy birthday to you. Yes, we are thankful for Janice for sure. Very good. All right, bringing the microphone back up.
Drew, you're such a giving person. You want to trade with for my little place? This is a book that's out of print, which tells you something about my age. But way back when I was much younger, there was a very well-known, famous singer named Pat Boone. And Pat Boone found the Lord, and he wrote a book called A New Song about his experiences. And I have to say that for those of you who don't know me, I was raised in a home that did not honor Christ. And I was trained as a scientist. And so I had the usual rational mindset that, you know, God is for weak people. And, you know, we can't prove him. And all of the different kinds of things that our rational mind says to us because we think we're smarter than we are. And I was going through some challenging times, and someone gave me this book to read. And what this book did for me was, and I can't go into the long, long story of it, but what it did for me was it told me that there's something more to me than my mind. That I have to trust my heart, that I have to be willing to step out knowing that there's so much more that I don't know. And through this, I decided, I don't know if Jesus is real. I don't know if God is there. But boy, I want him to be. And so I'm going to try. And so I prayed. I kind of did some of the things that Pat Boone did in his book. And the Lord poured his love out and demonstrated to me his reality. And I haven't been the same since. And what I'm most thankful for is because of this, I learned how to love my wife the way she should be loved. And I learned how to love my children and to raise their children, my children, the way they should be raised. So thank you, Pat. I think he's got to be at least 85 now. But I really am thankful. God puts into our life what we need when we need it to speak to us in a way, if we're willing to listen, to change our lives. And I praise him for it. And can I have all the pennies that you get guys didn't take?
Turns out we need to start collecting those.
I'm representing just because there are too many kids. And well, there's two of us, but that's more than enough. Anywho, so Alice and Noah want to be thankful for the school that they're at. They were able to both get in together, and Noah just got in January. He's been in the waiting list for over a year, so we're very thankful that he made it in. Woohoo! So that's our little thankfulness for there. Osni, for a while, had been having really bad back problems. Well, we don't really know what it was, but he wouldn't be able to walk for very long. He'd have to, like, squat and just kind of, like, stretch out his back, and we weren't able to do a lot of things for the past year, but in July, he was healed, and we're very thankful for that. So this is his stretchy band that he would use every night just to stretch out his back and stuff, but now he is 100% back to normal. Not 90, not 99, but 100% back to normal. We're very thankful for that. So that's his. Here we go. And the song that we were singing, where I'm no longer a slave to fear, I've been living a life of fear and guilt. I'm motivated by guilt. People can get me to say yes to anything. And I've been really learning how to set good boundaries for myself and for those around me. And it's been a very hard thing for me to do, but it has been very necessary. So I'm very thankful for the people who are encouraging me and helping me say no in a loving and kind way so that I can be a better person and do the things that God has actually called me to do. And I know I'm not less compassionate or less loving when I say no. So this has been a huge thing. I am and have been a slave to fear, and God is really working in me and helping me break that bondage because it's not true. So that's where I'm at right now.
Thank you. Are we getting hungry? All right. It has been good to give thanks to the Lord, yes. So let's stand. We're going to finish our service together with the song Amazing Grace, because it is what we are most thankful for, yes? So let's sing together. Amazing grace, how sweet.
Be forever.
So Pastor Kevin's going to come and give the benediction as well as pray for our food for lunch. And then I have some instructions for what we're going to do when we go downstairs. So let's pray together.
Thank you all for making this such a wonderful, encouraging time to be together. It's been terrific. I was just sitting there thinking, maybe we should do this every Sunday. You know, I'll get up and do a 10-minute message, and then I'll let the rest of you come up and share what God has been teaching you. That might be a great way to go. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for giving praise to God. I know how much it has blessed you to give praise to the one who has done so much for us. So let also want to make sure everybody understands that you're invited to come down and have dinner with us. This is a Thanksgiving dinner. If you've never had Thanksgiving dinner before, you're in for a treat. Whether you brought food or not, we're inviting you to come down and have dinner with us. But now, let's have a word of prayer for our meal and to conclude this service. Father God, thank you for being who you are, for doing all you do, for accomplishing all you accomplish, for loving us as you have loved us, for sending your Son to give his life for us, for rising from the dead for us, and for calling us into your kingdom so that one day we might be in your presence. We thank you, God. And now I pray that as we conclude this service, that our fellowship together a little bit later down in our fellowship hall, I pray that time would be a time of real brothers and sisters sharing together. Pray that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our body, and may everyone be blessed. And may we bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So just take a seat for just a moment. And I just want to kind of let you know what we're going to do. When you go downstairs, what we're going to ask you to do is go immediately to your table. So find a place to sit. And on the table are these little paper doodad thingies. Fortune tellers, cootie catchers. I heard in Chinese they're called east to west or side to side. That's obviously not Chinese. They tried to teach me the Chinese name and I couldn't do it. But there are instructions for folding these, and I want to show you how this works, and I need a volunteer. Jake, come on up. Isn't he great? This is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that I can pick on my nephew every day. All right, so this is how it's going to work. I'm going to put the microphone down and say it really loudly.
For you as a child to learn to say thank you. Margaret Visser, in her book, The Gift of Thanks, cites a study that was done. This study was done of children whose parents were teaching them to say three things: hi, goodbye, and thank you. And after the parents had taught the children these three expressions, the psychologists who were doing the study asked the parents to keep a diary, to keep a log, and record how many times the child said it at the appropriate time, and whenever they didn't say it at the appropriate time. And this is what they found out. When it came to saying hi, the children had to be prompted or reminded about 28% of the time. So only a quarter of the time they forgot to say hi. The children had to be prompted or reminded to say goodbye about 31% of the time. So only about a third of the time they would forget to say goodbye. But the children had to be prompted to say thank you 51% of the time. Half of the time they forgot to say thank you. And so of all the social pleasantries, Visser says, children have the hardest time with thank you. And not only that, but when these children were taught to say thank you, at least in the beginning, they had no idea what it was like to actually feel thankfulness. But Visser writes this. She says, eventually, when children have matured and been further educated, they will come to be able to feel the emotion that the words express. The words come first, the feelings later. And so if you're an adult and you're having a hard time feeling thankfulness, maybe it's because we're not using that word enough. And maybe if we would just remember to say thank you more often, the feeling of thankfulness within us would grow. Visser says that when it comes to feeling thankful and expressing our thanks, we human beings have a hard time. It does not come easily to us. But remembering to say thank you to people, remembering to say thank you to God, are two very, very different things. My favorite Thanksgiving text is Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. This is the story of 10 lepers who were healed of leprosy by Jesus, and only one came back to Jesus to say thank you. Nine of them never returned to say thanks. Now, there are many places in the Bible where we're told how right it is to give thanks and praise to God. This is one of the few places in the Bible where we are shown in a very vivid way how wrong it is to withhold praise and thanksgiving from God. I want you to follow along with me as we look at these verses. This is what Luke says. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Today we're going to give you the opportunity to give thanks to God. But why should we do that? Why should we express our thanks? Now, everybody knows it's polite when somebody gives you something to say thank you. And if somebody does something for you or gives you something and you do not say thank you, that is considered extremely rude. But is that the only reason we should give thanks to God? Actually, there are many, many, many reasons. Today, we're just going to look very briefly at two reasons which come out of this text. For example, first, feeling thankful without giving thanks is a selfish act. Feeling thankful without giving thanks is a very selfish act. Now, everyone feels grateful. Everyone feels thankful at certain points during our life. I mean, think of these 9 lepers who did not return and give thanks to God. Do you think they were thankful? Certainly they were thankful. Think of their life. As lepers, they were not allowed to be home near their family. They could not hug their kids. They could not kiss their wife. They could not work on their own farm. They could not bring their food to the marketplace to sell it. They could not go to the marketplace to buy food for themselves. They could not worship in the temple. They could not spend time with their friends. If ever they saw someone getting close to them, they had to put up their hand and yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that these people would steer clear of them and leave them alone. They were completely and totally segregated from all other human beings. Of course, when these lepers were healed, of course they felt thanksgiving, because in an instant when Jesus healed them, they could now go back to their families. They could sleep in their own bed. They could hug their kids. They could kiss their wife. They could work their farm. They could go to the marketplace. They could go to the temple. They could live a normal life. Of course, they felt great joy and great gratitude when Jesus healed them and delivered them from that horrible life that they had been living before. Everyone feels gratitude. Even dogs feel gratitude. You give a dog a dish of food, and that dog will lick your face and lick your hands and wag his tail. Give a dog a dish of dog food, and he will act like you are the greatest. Give a cat a dish of cat food, and she will act like she is the greatest. But everyone feels gratitude. Do you know even atheists feel gratitude? But it's hard for them. It's very embarrassing for them when they feel gratitude because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond. Who am I supposed to share my gratitude with? Who am I supposed to give thanks to? It's embarrassing for atheists when they feel gratitude. But here's the point. Everyone feels gratitude. But the feeling of gratitude benefits no one except the one who is feeling gratitude. It doesn't benefit the one who blessed us, doesn't benefit the one who gave something to us. It only benefits us. Now, I'm convinced that the feeling of gratitude is a wonderful feeling. It makes us feel confident. It makes us feel secure. It fills us with joy when we realize all the wonderful blessings, all the wonderful things that have been given to us. But gratitude, the feeling, is inwardly focused. It's focused on us. And the only way we can turn that around so that it's not a selfish, self-centered feeling is when we direct our appreciation at the one who did something good for us, the one who has blessed us, the one who has met our needs. And so, why should we say thanks? Because when we only feel thankful and we keep it to ourselves, we're being very selfish people. The only way we can stop being selfish is by giving our thanks to the one who has made us feel gratitude, the God who has blessed us. Gratitude is a feeling, and we need to change our feeling of gratitude into the action of thanksgiving. Now, the second reason we need to say thank you is because it makes it possible for us to receive more blessing. 10 lepers came to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus did. He healed them. But only one leper came back to give praise and thanks to Jesus. Only one returned. But look at what happened to him. Verse 19, Jesus says to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Now, Jesus had already made all 10 lepers well. He healed all 10. So what in the world does he mean here when he says, "Your faith has made you well"? Obviously, Jesus is talking about something more than just physical healing. The interesting thing is when you look at the text in the original Greek, and the original Greek uses the word sozo. It's a word that means save. And what Jesus says in the Greek is literally, "Rise and go, your faith has saved you." Now, this Greek word sozo, this is the word that's used in the New Testament to refer to the transformation that takes place in a person's life when that person puts her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are spiritually transformed. All the wrong we've done, all the guilt, all the shame is taken away. We have peace with God. We can come into God's presence and call God our Father. But not only are we spiritually transformed, we're socially transformed, because the Bible says, Jesus said, if God has forgiven you, you must forgive those who have wronged you. So never again can we have enemies. because we have been saved. We're mentally saved. We have peace. The worry and concern in our mind is greatly lessened because we know we have peace with God. Emotionally, we're transformed. We feel joy now, and our feelings of depression and despair do not overwhelm us. They don't need to overwhelm us because we belong to Jesus Christ. So, Jesus healed 10 lepers. 9 of them got physical healing. They got a part of what Jesus wanted to give them, but one of them got the total package. He got it all. He was transformed in every dimension of his life, heart, soul, mind, spirit, body, emotions, in every way. He was transformed. And thanksgiving was the key that opened him up to receive all these blessings. When we are expressing our thanks, when we say thank you to God, when we demonstrate thankfulness and actually say, God, I thank you for this and for this and for this, when we do that, something happens in the spiritual realm. It's as if a switch is flicked from the off position to the on position. It's as if a door is opened, and now we can receive from God all the blessing he wants to give to us. But when we refuse to give thanks to God, that switch is in the off position. The door is closed, and we can't receive the blessings that God wants to give to us. Let me ask you, are you doing all you can as an individual, and are we doing all we can as a church to receive all the blessing that God wants to shower on us? And so giving thanks to God is good for God. It puts God in the place where he belongs in our life. And that place is when we recognize him as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We recognize that all the good in our life is because of him. So giving thanks to God is good for God, and giving thanks to God is good for us because it opens us up to receive all his blessing. So what should we do? We should give thanks to God. Otha Anders of Ruston, Louisiana, spent 45 years doing something that most of us do not do. He spent 45 years looking for something that most of us ignore. He spent 45 years of his life gathering up pennies. And then in October of 2015, the 73-year-old Anders, who worked for the school system, brought all his pennies to the bank in 15 5-gallon jugs. It took 5 hours for the machines at the bank to count all his pennies. And when he was done, the bank gave him a check for $5,136.14. He had more than 500,000 pennies. But this is not a story of thriftiness. This is not a story about how you can get a lot of money just by picking up pennies. This is a story about something very different, because you need to hear what Otha said. And this is what he said. He said, if I would see a penny on the ground or the hallway or on the floor or anywhere, I would automatically, invariably, say a prayer of thanks. So we're not just talking about more than 500,000 pennies. We're talking about more than 500,000 prayers of thanks that he offered up to God. It is no wonder this man has been so blessed throughout his life. Can you imagine giving more than 500,000 prayers of thanks to God day in and day out? If thankfulness can bless us in such a tremendous way, I want to invest in your thankfulness. And so this morning, when you come up to lay your card or to lay your object on the table, I want you to pick up a penny. And I want you to hold on to that penny for a while. Don't spend it quickly. Hold on to it. Keep it in your pocket. And when you see that penny, let it remind you that God is worthy, God is deserving of our praise. And at every moment, Even in a moment as trivial as being handed a penny at the store, let us remember God is worthy of our praise. Amen.